Evening, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the first half 2017-2018 results of Unieuro S.p.A. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in on listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Now, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Nico Santi Monterastelli, the CEO of the company. The floor is yours.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Giancarlo Nico Santi, CEO of the company. Beside me, Italo Valente is sitting here, CFO of the company. In call, we have Bruna Olivieri, Chief Omnichannel Officer, and Luigi Fusco, Chief Operation Officer. They're also present. Let's now take a look at the results achieved by our company, starting from the highlights, page four of the presentation. As you know darn well, our company operates in consumer electronics, and this segment has a very specific special performance during the year, because the first half that it closed at 31st of August just offers a very partial snapshot of the business because it is very much affected by seasonality. Revenues, both our revenues and those of the players in the consumer electronic sector, actually peak during October, November, December, and January. That is during the festivities. In particular, fixed costs, overheads such as rents and wages have a more linear performance. As a result, the margins in the first part of the year is very squeezed to the benefit of the second half, which is more significant and meaningful in terms of EBITDA and net income. Also cash and net working capital, they really perform in a contrasting manner with an absorption in the first half and a generation in the second half. This is the history of the industry and of our company alike. That said, let's now assess the quarter that just ended. It has been a very, very positive one. Our revenues went up by 5.9%, reaching 814 million against a market that was unexpectedly sluggish. Our performance was due to both online revenues with strong, staggering growth, and since June, also thanks to the contribution coming from Moncler, and as well as the good performance of the offline business, driven also by the new acquisitions. During the half concerned, we have basically ended the acquisition of the 21 Andreoli stores that were relaunched and reopened as of the 1st of July, and the opening of Euroroma 2 and the 19 Gironi stores will produce positive impact in the second half of the year. On top of that, the ongoing refurbishment of stores should be added, which concerns more or less 24 stores, i.e., 5% of the network over a period of only 6 months. The customer-centric approach is still our focus, especially the focus of our strategy. The customer relationship management projects that we have presented at length to our investors during the IPO are starting to bear fruit. Our NPS, that is measured since February, is very much positive, but we will dwell on this later on. From a purely financial point of view, we are very satisfied to report a widening of the free float that today amounts to 52% of our share capital, following the successful placement by our majority shareholder. New investors decided to trust us, and the 1 euro per share dividend that we paid out to them at the end of September is the first sign of how this trust was actually paid, how this trust paid off. Moving on to page six. Here, this slide provides us with an overview of the market trends. As you can see, according to GfK statistics in March, August, the consumer markets reported a slight drop, -0.7%. As we were saying, this was pretty unexpected. Although this drop was pretty material in the first months of the year, it then was reduced in the second half of the year. the offline underperformed the market with -1.8%, whereas the online keeps growing and actually achieved 13% of the total market against the 12% reported the end of February. Well, against this background, Unieuro was able to outperform in all channels, net of B2B services and non-electronic products. In order to make them homogeneous and in line with market statistics, our revenues went up by 5.9% as a whole, with online up 52%. And if we exclude Moncler, this would result in +30% vis-à-vis the market with an increase of 8%. And then traditional distribution outperformance by 2.5%. If we very briefly analyze the different product categories, white goods keep performing in a very positive manner on the market. In our case, we're talking about excellent performance because the increase was 12% and as much as 16% if we only consider e-commerce. Brown category, a drop by 8% due to the competition in the IT segment by telephone operators, telephone companies. For example, we are thinking of TIM Promotions that shifted part of the market into technical specialists, specialty stores, but we were able to keep improving in spite of this unfavorable trend that shifted part of the market. The gray segment was flat, with telephones and smartphones that offered a positive contribution thanks to the launch of new smartphone models, especially Samsung Galaxy S8 that was very successful, whereas the IT, unfortunately, was penalized due to an unfavorable mix between categories that are increasing and others that are going down. In this segment, too, Unieuro was able to report a positive performance, especially online, +39%. On page 7, we see the total sales of our company and then broken down by different channels and product categories. So retail went up by 3.4% thanks to the reopening of the Andreoli stores, and because, as we said before, this happened on July the 1st, and thanks to the two new stores opened in Bergamo, one at the airport and the other one in the shopping mall, Bergamo Rio Serio. Net of the external growth, like-for-like was negative because it was penalized by significant refurbishment activities of the previous year. First of all, Roma Muratella, our flagship store, because when we relaunched it, revenues were extremely positive and difficult to repeat, amounting to 12 million euros. Well, net of this effect, the like-for-like of our company decreased from -2.3%, increased to to 0.6%, a better performance than the consumer market, and especially better than the technical superstore channel. I'd like to recall that this technical superstore channel, these are basically stores with at least 800 square meters with a minimum revenues of 2.5 million. Well, this is precisely the channel that was penalized by this reduction because its negative performance amounted to -3.8%. Wholesale suffered due to rationalization of the network and of the destocking of wholesale partners. Well, target was basically based on the sellout more than on the sell-in, and as a result of that, there was a slight decrease. Online still growing over 52%, and even if we were to not consider the 10 million contributed by Moncler, the performance would be nevertheless +30%. The Moncler effect is actually impacting the B2B2 in a positive manner for 10 million. And for B2B2C, well, you see, this we are very, very attentive and focused on this business. This is the main reason why Moncler was acquired in the first place. Net of Moncler, revenues decrease, in particular for the gray segments, but this effect had already been forecasted and budgeted for. Then, in terms of product category, I've already commented on the main ones, so I do not want to drill down into details, although the strong growth of major and small domestic appliances is very significant because these are the ones that bring more margins. Then, besides categories, margins from services are particularly important, whose amount went up by 7.5%, thanks especially to warranties extension. Then, other products, there was an improvement of 37 million with an increase of over 30%. We are talking about new products like hoverboards, electric bicycles, games alike. On page nine, what we see here is our strategy because we consider the trends in terms of revenues, and we are very satisfied with that. But we are also pleased with the fact that all these results were achieved thanks to our strategic approach that we already presented in the past. You are already familiar with this slide, and we are showing it to you once again now, although it is better to move on slide number 10 because then you can see what our achievements were in terms of proximity, experience, and retail mix. To improve our proximity concept, we have expanded our network by over 25 directly operated stores, our own stores. Then, in September, we inaugurated our second flagship Roman store in the shopping mall Euroma 2, the most important one in the city, that further strengthens our presence in our footprint in the capital city of Italy. In order to strengthen the purchasing experience, shopping experience of our customers, we refurbished 24 stores with a new modern multimedia layout that is closer to the needs of an ever-changing customer that changes the way they shop and also the way in which they want things to be delivered. Then, from May onwards, trying to meet the smarter customers, we introduced the Apple Pay system for payments in both our brick-and-mortar stores and online. And we have to say that we were the first among the first in Italy to adopt this system. Then, moving on to e-commerce, we were awarded an increasing number of prizes and awards, thus testifying the quality of the Unieuro.it services and the marketing strategy that supports this service. And then, since February, we started measuring this quality through customer feedback loop, the specific project with a positive result. Then, supporting our strategy, I'd like to highlight the activities we performed in order to improve procurement. We have set up a partnership with Oracle, buying their suite Oracle Retail, that will enable us to optimize stocks shortly and then to automatize as much as possible the replenishment processes. On page 11, talking about proximity once again, we'd like to comment on the Cerioni acquisition. Well, Cerioni is a former Euronics partner, shareholder with 19 stores in Emilia-Romagna and Marche. This is the geographic area concerned. Well, this acquisition is very similar to the Andreoli one last summer, similar number of stores, the fact that they all belong to the Euronics group, and also the rationale, strategic rationale is the same, meaning that we want to strengthen our coverage in areas where we were not very present to the detriment of our most important competitors, and especially with an acquisition process that today prompts us to acquire potential targets with a decreasing price. If we consider that the multiple we paid, i.e., 90 million of potential incremental revenues that we estimate we could achieve with Cerioni, well, the 8 million we actually pay, the consideration, is a much lower multiple than Andreoli themselves. And this was a target we already had set to ourselves with a percentage of sales of 10%, more or less. Well, this acquisition was pretty quick, with our counterparty, the Cerioni family. It was a very important step for them, but our objective was that of obtaining the stores before Christmas, before the peak season. Therefore, we were forced and we will still be forced to really rush. But the objective is to open nearly all stores between November and December so that we are fully and ready and equipped for the Christmas season with some further stores in an important area. Of course, we usually acquire our stores without stock. And thanks to this, we will have an immediate positive effect in terms of cash because, as you might know, the stock, the goods that we use to fill replenish our stores, we pay them 70 days later, and whereas we cash in from the day after.
Obviously, we have other operations in our pipeline, but basically these four important acquisitions, if we also include Euroma too, were the most important ones. So obviously we'll concentrate on their perfect integration in terms of their infrastructure. The other strategy on slide 12, the omnichannel experience dedicated to the voice of customer project. Our target here is to be leaders in terms of points of sales, in terms of sales, in terms of margins, but also in terms of quality. And to measure customer satisfaction in all our contact points, our omni-channel process has created, we've chosen the Net Promoter Score metrics we started measuring since February. Well, the project involved the whole network of stores, both direct and indirect, as well as digital users. Out of the 180,000 mails we sent out, 19,000 generated a feedback on the side of the customer, and this feedback in a scale from 0 to 10 averaged on 8.2, leading to an NPS final data equal to 40.5. We're obviously very satisfied about this result, and we keep on being satisfied about the feedback given by consumers in a significant manner, because obviously we'll keep on monitoring our customers more and more, both the channel and the different clusters of customers, because we want to listen to our customers in all the moments in which they relate with us. We want to understand from consumers themselves what are the attention points to be highlighted, to then be capable of acting locally and or globally to solve the problems they highlight. This is a process that starts here and will never end, because it must lead us to continuous improvement to satisfy our customers, who are obviously the most important thing for a company like ours. At this point, I'd leave the floor to our CFO, Mr. Italo Valenti, who will give you financial and economic data highlights. Yes, thank you very much, Giancarlo. Good evening, everybody. I'll start with slide 14, where we see some key financials. Let's start with sales, consolidated sales, that grew by 6.9% from 761.5 million euro to about 1813, with a like-for-like growth, the decrease, as the CEO said before, of minus 2.3%. But if we depurate like-for-like the performance of one single store, the Roma Muratella that was refurbished last year with a performance that cannot easily be replicated, this minus 2.3% can be read as a 0.6%, minus 0.6% throughout the rest of Italy, so with a slight improvement. Obviously, the growth is strongly connected to new acquisitions, i.e. Mandreoli and Monclick, and to the organic growth connected to new openings that developed in the first half of the year. In terms of adjusted EBITDA, we have a plus 8.1%, 14.7% vis-a-vis the 13.6% in the first half of 2016, and the EBITDA margin is basically in line, 1.8%, the same as that of the previous year. Gross profit net income is growing, and then we'll give you a detailed analysis of the bridge between the two periods. It is important here to stress the fact that we did so in a very competitive market, which is under pressure, and we instead kept our margins, our gross margins, in line with that of the previous year. Talking about the adjusted net income, we're talking about a 29.2% growth, 3.1 million, and we were at 2.4 million last year. Here, the most significant impact is coming from lower financial costs and lower taxes, partially offset, though, by higher depreciation and amortization costs following the important investments we made recently. The net financial position that ranged from -2 on February 28th, 2017, to -76 million euro at the end of August. Do consider that in this period, we had acquisitions, which all in all, in terms of price paid and in terms of investments made for refurbishment of Andreoli stores to relaunch the stores, impacted amount for 26.9 million euro in total. If we compare this with the August 31st, 2016, we have an improvement in the net financial position, because then it was -79 million, and today we are at 75.8 million, despite the fact that during this period of time, we've had acquisitions as well as the resolution of distributing dividends, which, as you know, immediately creates financial debt that goes into the net financial position, although the payment took place in September. In terms of adjusted free cash flow, we have an important positive performance here. In the first half of 2016, we had absorbed about 50 million euro. In the first half of 2017, we got at -26.8. And here we have the positive impact of the net working capital we will comment upon in a while, and also lower interests vis-à-vis the previous year. The net working capital shows, an amount in line with that of the previous year. And this is a bit of an anomaly because this is an industry that has strong seasonality and that usually sees this period of cash absorption and worsening of the net working capital. In this case, we didn't have any worsening. So basically, this was also due to the acquisitions we made. We acquire stockless stores, and so with the initial acquisition, for which we pay about 75 days later, we get cash immediately from our customers, and this obviously has a positive contribution on the net working capital. In the next slide, we see some key operational data. DOS went from 180 to 203. We've already explained why. Through acquisitions, we also see that the rationalization on closures that were 9, whilst openings were 2 with affiliates, and these are 83% the total of the network. In terms of square meters occupied, we've had a growth, an important growth connected with acquisitions of Andreoli, and the sales density is equal to that of last year. Loyalty card holders grew by 6.6 by 5.9%, 6.4, 6.8 today. And the workforce grows from 3,395 to 3,818. And this growth is connected to Andreoli, 270, Monclick, 47 people, and the new openings, 75 people. The difference then is made by the strengthening of the central structure, of the headquarters structure, to allow the company to be ready to manage a stronger presence on the market, and also to strengthen some functions which are important for digital and marketing. The adjusted EBITDA on page 16, where we see the main reasons of our changes and of the improvement in our results from 13.6 to 14.7. Gross profit improved by 11.3 million euro. Rentals slightly increased in terms of costs, 0.9. But growth is connected with new acquisitions. And in terms of like-for-like, we have a reduction of costs in rentals. Personnel, 4.6 million euro, mainly linked to acquisitions and to the strengthening and the reinforcements of the headquarters. I've already mentioned marketing, so a reduction in marketing costs, over 1 million euro. But this is mainly related, it's temporary, and it's mainly related to a different promotional calendar. Logistic costs increased by 2.9 million euro, and growth is mainly, this increase is mainly connected with higher sales volumes, and especially to something which we are finding on the market, i.e. the growth in home delivery. Orders are made on the web and are delivered at home. And then we have other costs. Here the increase was 3.2 million euro, and this is mainly connected to the new functions we have created at headquarters level to tackle, the requirements of a listed company, and also to the strengthening of strategic functions. Net income, 2.4, 3.1. We've already commented the growth of the EBITDA, 1.1. D&A grew by 1.2 million euro versus the previous year, and instead, you see net interest and taxes, 0.4 and 1.1 positive. And then we have a slight negative impact on fiscal non-recurring items, 0.7700 euro. Our net financial position, well, we went from minus 2 at the beginning of the year to minus 75.8 at the end of August. Net interest, 4.2. 2.3 of which connected to finance fees for the new line of acquisitions, 150 million euro, which we have obtained during the first part of the year. CAPEX, investments for 23 million, of which 7.5 million euro are related to the Andreoli stores acquisitions and the reopening of Euroma 2. Non-recurring investments, well, these are costs for acquisitions, 19.4, cash flow for 19.4 million euro for Andreoli and Euroma 2. We paid out dividends, 20 million euro, and then we also have slight variations, and I would highlight the fact that we didn't have any worsening of the net working capital in a 6 months period that usually, due to seasonality, sees a strong cash absorption thanks to new stores fulfillment effects. On page 19, we have the reconciliation between the net financial position and the free cash flow, adjusted free cash flow. The net financial position in this 6 months' time has been equal to minus 73.8 million euro, but if we deduct the impact of dividends, 20 million, the acquisitions debt, 6.5 million euro, which together with the 12.9 million of non-recurring investments give us the total acquisitions for the period. And then we have 14.4 million euro for non-recurring items. We come to the 26.8 adjusted free cash flow generated in the first half of 2017. Now I would leave the CEO, Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti, to come to the closing remarks, and then we can open the debate, the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Italo. Well, I'd like to close this presentation of our first half results with some final remarks, with some closing remarks. First, the market scenario worsened, but not that strongly, and the situation has been changing in the last few weeks. But this is not worrying us. The natural selection that started in this industry will allow few competitive operators to win, and we will be amongst them. And this is demonstrated by the important acquisitions we've made in 2017, which will give us about 300 million euro incremental sales closer to market leaders. And it'll also allow us to spread overhead on a wider range of revenues. So after a first half that was positive, we believe we can also perform well in the second half, which is of fundamental importance in terms of profitability. I would like to thank you for this, and I ask the operator to start the Q&A session. We're going to ask the Q&A session. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press asterisk followed by one. To cancel your question, asterisk followed by two. We kindly ask you to ask questions using the receivers. So asterisk followed by one for the first question, please. First question, Giuseppe Grimaldi, Mediobanca, please.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, in fact. Three questions. What could be extraordinary burn charges for the whole year, given the results for the first half? Then the second is a strategic question. After the demerger process, do you see a change, a possible change in the strategy at MediaWorld? And then last question on online, what's the competitive trend, especially in terms of pricing? Thank you.
Okay. As to the first question, if we go to page 28, which is part of the backup, you find the detail of extraordinary items we reported. And we see that all in all, in the first half, we've adjusted for 13.4, sorry, for different reasons. And you can immediately understand how the IPO amounts to 2.7, and it will not proceed for the rest of the year. In fact, on the left, on the right-hand side, you see that there is zero impact in terms of cost for the period. The call options agreement, the old call options agreement closed, 0.7, no impact in the second quarter. Store openings, well, these obviously will depend on our evolution, and we want to grow. It's now at 1.3, but as you know, we don't give accurate indications. But this is an item that might change in the second half. Accidental events, zero, 2.7, and it's the same. This is a one-off event, and so we really don't think this will happen again. Mergers and acquisitions, well, this mergers and acquisitions does not include cost we've borne for the acquisition of Cerioni, so this will increase, not in the same manner, maybe just a bit less, but this is obviously linked with the refurbishing of stores. The CEO said before that the Cerioni stores will have to be opened before Christmas. Then the extended warranties adjustment, well, this is, if you want, a linear evolution, 2.9 in the first half, and I would say that this will continue in a linear manner throughout the year. Now, as to your second question on MediaWorld, well, frankly speaking, we don't see any important strategy change, at least in the short term. We know that within that group, they're going through a restructuring process. And we know this from market rumors rather than from direct news or direct data. They've just closed their fiscal year, and I don't know the data, but I am convinced they've had lots and lots of difficulties because we've seen strong pressure on sales without even looking at margins that were very negatively impacted. Frankly speaking, we don't think there might be a strategy change in the short term on their side. What we see is that today there is, especially from the rest of the competition, there is a flattening out of activities in offline retail, and there's total absence from the majority of our competitors in the online. So this, I believe, can be an advantage for us. It can be a distinctive factor, not just in the short term, but in the medium to long term as well.
Thank you.
Oh, just yes, I will answer the third question. The price pressure we see in the online channel, which is higher than in the rest of the market. In the white goods sector, we confirm, as we already did last year, prices that are going to be dropping, but with stronger increases in volumes. In the brown sector, the same holds true, given the trend in consumer electronics. Media storage, well, strong shift towards the online channel, and also for gray goods. IT and telecom will grow in volumes, but prices will decrease because of online channels. Basically, we see an online market that grows at +8% until today. So compared to the same period last year, a growth which is more limited, but we expect this to reach a double-digit result by the end of the year.
Next question from the English conference. Fred Pratt, Credit Suisse.
Hello there. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, so two questions from me. First thing, can you tell us how much is the contribution from the 21 Andreoli stores? I think they're open for 1 month in the half, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And the second question is, your 2Q gross margins are down 70 basis points. Can you probably explain the moving parts there? And how should we think about gross margins for the full year and for next year, given now that you have three acquisitions and you're adding roughly 300 million of sales on a run rate basis? Those are my two questions, please.
Well, the impact of Andreoli, of the Andreoli acquisition, I would say, and the Moncler acquisition too, in the first half is close to zero, is not significant. So there is not much to report there. Of course, as we have always disclosed, acquisitions usually go to achieve break-even in 12-18 months, and then they achieve our standard levels of margins. In terms of gross margin, well, this is a positive piece of information that I have to disclose in terms of gross margin. In this half, the company was able to maintain the very same margins level on sales compared to the same 6 months of the previous year. And this is even more positive if we consider that the market was pretty sluggish and tough, and also considering a price pressure that is rising. As far as the indications on the future or future guidelines for this year, next year are concerned, well, it is our policy not to provide any guidelines on this matter.
Sorry, just the follow-up on the first question. I meant the sales contribution from Andrioli, not the profit contribution.
Well, in terms of sales, the impact from Andrioli was around €24 million in the time considered.
Next question. Giuseppe Grimaldi, Mediobanca, please.
Yes, a follow-up on sales trends. I wanted to know, in the second half, are you expecting like-for-like to remain flat? Because net of the opening of the store result, in the first half, we have a like-for-like trend which is flattish, right?
Well, forecast research institutes tell us that the second half should lead important improvements versus the negative data of the first half. Personally, I believe that sales can be in line with the previous fiscal year with a slight loss anyway. Clearly, what's important for us is to try and understand the market as a whole, because obviously we can still have a further shift. And as we were saying before, we expect online, especially during the last part of the year, to grow considerably. And this is part of the market we occupy very, very well with Moncler and Unieuro.it. So we believe the second half performance will be in line with our expectations. Thank you.
Next question by Andrea Bonfà, Banca Akros.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one has to do with the general competitive pressure and whether you can elaborate on the fact that maybe you are the ones to actually increase competitive pressure. As far as rumors are concerned on the market, the idea is that you are pushing competitive pressure by exploiting the volume advantages that derive to you from the acquisitions. The question is whether you want to accelerate market consolidation through this policy. And the second one has to do with the online, which net of the Moncler acquisition in the second quarter delivered +15%, if I'm not mistaken. So I'd like to understand whether the effects of the website renewal and innovation are actually dwindling in the second half of the year. And if I may add a third follow-up question, as far as what you can say, just a few months after gaining full control of your acquired business, Are you satisfied? Is everything going in line with your expectations? Or maybe are you even very happy about your acquired assets? And could maybe this could, there could be an outperformance, you think? Well, I would say, in to answer the first question on the competitive pressure, of course, we are operating in a context with several different players on the market in the online retail universe. Therefore, we expect this to happen to the competitive pressure. We can definitely contribute to it, but it will be a remunerative, a positive factor. Although it's, if you think that UniEuro might exploit the volume in order to perform promotions on prices, well, yes, it could be interpreted this way, but truth be told, this is the way the market moves, and this is what we expect from the market. Anyway, we have always stated and argued that the Italian market is extremely fragmented, and as UniEuro wants to be the market consolidator, we should not forget that the top three entities in Italy have amount to 59% of the market against European average of 79%, which means 1.7 billion potential. This is the gap, the differential, and this is the target we would like to seize. Of course, we want to seize this opportunity by using different ways, for example, through integration, omnichannel, as a distinctive factor of our company. But of course, all this must be justified by such a profitability that is that enables us to do so. Our company today is one of the highest profitable on the market. So for us, it is not important to be competitive. It is rather important, what matters to us is to be profitable for our investors and also to fuel our development, because we should not forget that our company over the last decade or so were deleveraged completely. It's paid out quite a significant dividend in the past weeks, and at the same time performed acquisitions like we did in the past few months. And it's a company that is looking at the future with interest towards other potential targets that exist, that are already there on the market. But for the time being, we are very busy with making the first three acquisitions profitable. We're talking about Moncler, Cerioni and Andreoli, and I would add a fourth name there too, because the fact that we opened a flagship store in Rome and we actually stole this from Euronics, from Troni, our competitor in Italy, I think this is also another important move in that direction. And so you ask me, well, what about the acquisitions? Well, acquisitions are just performing the way we expected. The CFO said it before. According to our plan, we would like the acquired assets to become profitable in 12 to 18 months. And I think that this timing will also be complied with this time too. So about the growth, the 15% growth in the last quarter of the online business, well, this 15% is nevertheless largely higher, much higher than the market. But in the second half of the year, we expect a growth rate that is much closer to what we experienced during the first half. Well, thank you very much. A follow-up question, if I may. So to buy the store in Rome, did you have to pay a key money? Can you quantify it? Yes, it was 3 million key money, and it was budgeted for. But it was and it is the most important store in Rome, in the most important shopping mall in Rome, after the Muratella store, that is definitely the flagship store of UniEuro in Rome, but it has been so for the last 15 years. Thank you.
I'd like to remind you that should you have any other questions, you can press asterisk plus one on your phone. Any other questions?
For further questions, please asterisk and one on your phone. Mr. Nicosanti, Mr. Rastelli, at the moment there aren't any further questions. Well, then I'd like to thank you all for the attention. We hope we gave you a correct perception of what our company did in this last 6 months and especially what it wants to do in the next 6 months. So thank you very much to you all and good evening.